this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of
Joshua P. Warren?
It's alive! From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a story from Longview, Texas. Police were involved in a high-speed chase there with a man who stole some steaks from Walmart at about 11 o'clock in the morning. It says the officers quickly caught up with him, and the ensuing police chase reached speeds exceeding 100 miles per hour and crossed two counties. In the midst of the chase, the suspect began throwing some of the pilfered meats out of his car, and they were bouncing off of the windshield of the police car. There's an actual recording, quote, from a police officer, quote, "It appears there are steaks and meats of some sort flying out the windows, and one of them bounced off my patrol car and hit the windshield," end quote. Police said when the man was out of meat and scared they might start shooting him, he finally surrendered. He jumped out of the car, was lying flat when the cops pulled up, and he was screaming, "Don't shoot." So they've taken him into custody. They say that they believe the man is a heroin user, and officers say they have never been involved in such a high-stakes chase before. Hey, thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steele. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, sir. What's going on down there?
I'm playing with my Slinky Jr. here.
Still, is that all? Is there like a power outage in Puerto Rico?
I actually am learning amazing things about Slinkies. I had never realized before that if you take a Slinky and you hold it up high in the air and you drop it a certain way, it appears to be levitating for a second or two. Did you know that?
I did not. You could probably use it as an antenna of sorts.
That's actually why I originally bought it, because I was going to do some electrostatic experiments, and I was going to use it as a type of coil. And I still probably will do that. But at some point, I'm going to do a whole segment on Slinkies, not tonight, but I'm learning some mind-boggling things about Slinkies that I, you know, You'd think we, as good Americans, would know this, but sometimes you re-examine things as an adult, if we can be called that. How about you, Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop? Do you find yourself re-examining life more at this age?
Well, some things, and you mentioning electrostatic experiments, yeah, I remember those. I remember all the hazing in my classes, and yeah, thank you for that wonderful memory. I'm the one that got shocked all the time.
Well, you, I believe, had a natural sort of conductive ability, sort of a physical characteristic. I mean, we wouldn't intend to shock you, but suddenly a bolt would just jump out of somewhere and pop you pretty good.
It would.
One place or another, yeah.
Yeah, but you loved it.
And, well, you know, I believe last week when we were recording the show, we were talking a little bit off the air about high voltage electrostatics. And I'd mentioned that in our laboratories in a different location, but at its previous location, there were many nights when you and I would be there along with Forrest Connor. And we would be producing pretty much immeasurable amounts of voltage. I mean, millions and millions and who knows?
It was so cool. Hey, you remember when it turned blue, the blue glow under the refrigerator?
Yeah, I remember that night when everything started turning blue and glowing and stuff started flying off walls. It was kind of like a Hutchison poltergeist type effect. But I was mentioning that when you build up that much electrostatic charge, you should really stick one of your hands in your pocket and keep it there, because then you're less likely to touch two things at the same time that might connect the circuit and send a nice little surge of electricity right across your heart.
Yeah, not so much fun.
But, you know, it's funny because now you've got to be really careful with the amount of electrostatic research you do when there are all of these sensitive digital and electronic devices around. I don't think I mentioned this, but on a previous show, but not too long ago, I was at the Best Buy in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and they have a demo set up there where you can experience the latest virtual reality. Have either of you done this yet?
No.
You mean Oculus Rift?
Yes, exactly.
I have not tried it yet, no.
I think they pretty much have like a Galaxy Samsung 7 Edge phone, which is like maybe an $800 phone. And it is stuck into this like an Oculus head visor thing. And I'm telling you guys, this was one of the most amazing things that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I knew it was going to be cool, but it blew me away. Here I am standing in the store. I put the thing on, and then, boom, I'm not in the store anymore, okay? I am floating in outer space. Now, mind you, with this thing, you can look all around yourself, up, down, left, right. I mean, in any direction you can look. I'm floating in outer space. There's meteors flying by, and then all of a sudden I'm in the ocean, and there's sharks all around me. And then I'm on the surface of Mars, and I mean, and it was just like, it was absolutely stunning how, I mean, three-dimensional and real and immersive the whole thing was. And then, you know, when I finally took them off, it's like, wow, I'm standing in a Best Buy again? I mean, it was insane. I'm actually going to buy one of these setups, but I'm afraid I might just sit on the couch for like a month, you know.
What if you were actually wearing an Oculus Rift that was transporting you into a Best Buy in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and inside that Oculus Rift you put on another one that transported you to space?
That might be the most intelligent thing you've ever said, Sam, because I believe that is what life actually is. That is reality. We are all somewhere else. And we are using virtual reality headsets.
Or we're trying to get somewhere else, and we don't have those, so we use other things.
Well, what if you took a baby
and dropped it?
from the moment the baby was born, you put a little virtual reality headset on it, and you tell the baby, that's a part of your body. You know, that doesn't come off, right? And you never, ever explain to this kid as it grows into an adult this thing on its head is not a part of its body, and you give it this incredible, like, artificial experience. You could make that kid grow up into any kind of world possible that you could imagine, and then one day, what would happen if the kid did take that bold step and remove the goggles? How shocking would it be to see what's actually happening behind the scenes? Maybe that's something like a mystical experience that people have when they take LSD or they meditate or whatever, and sometimes, you know, they're able to see beyond this technology that's creating the program we call life.
But if all these programs are getting programmed and it's advancing so much, at what point do you say it's more financially viable or just easier to put on your headset and go on vacation to San Juan, Puerto Rico, as opposed to getting on a plane and going to San Juan, Puerto Rico?
You know, I'm glad that you bring this up, Sam, because leading up to our first break here, I want to tell everybody that I believe that this thing that we call reality is something that you can hack. And there are a lot of different ways you can do this, and we've talked about controversial technologies and techniques. But hour number two of the show tonight, I've decided to give everybody listening a gift, a free gift. And that is, in this political year where everybody's talking about money and how much money these candidates are raising and spending and corruption and lobbying, and it's getting worse. It's worse now than it's ever been. And this question arises, you know, is the whole world really just shifting toward a new world order, which is nothing but a giant conglomerate corporation sort of thing? And the point is to sort of keep us all enslaved in debt in one way or another throughout our entire lives. Well, I know a lot of people right now are struggling financially because I hear from them all the time. And you know what? Over the past 3 years, I have had an incredible amount of success hitting jackpots and making money in casinos on slot machines. And I started treating this as an experiment where I started keeping data related to my wins and my losses and looking for patterns. And I believe that I've come up with a system here that I'm going to share with everybody tonight on hour number two, that I am going to call, simply enough, how to win at slots in the casino using mind power. And it's not just all mind power. There are also some very technical bits of info I'm going to give you. My 10 steps I'm going to share with everybody hour number two of the show tonight. Who can't use some help in that department, right? And when we come back from this break, do you know that there is a slew of incredible, crazy, scary paranormal activity that has broken loose in Malaysia, scaring school children half to death? It's almost like the Ghostbusters cloud has just built over that area, and demonic activity is broken loose. When we come back, I'll read some of these news reports to you. It's the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company, brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Program broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. And hosting from the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, Puerto Rico, I'm Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird. And this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville, North Carolina. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And by the way, I want to just toss this out there. If there's anybody in the Asheville area listening who is an auto mechanic, I am in need of an auto mechanic right now. I'm not in Asheville, but I do have a car in Asheville. It's with my parents. It is a 98 Chevy Malibu, and it needs a new radiator and thermostat and timing belt installed. If there is a mechanic listening to the show who would like not only some cash but also some advertising on Speaking of Strange, I suppose, Shelley, they can call Wright's Coin Shop and you'll connect them to me. Is that right?
I can do that.
All right. So, yeah,
call me.
If you are an auto mechanic and you want to, again, help me out, call Shelley at Wright's Coin Shop, 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. Or you can go to joshuapwarren.com and email me. That email address is simply contact@joshuapwarren.com. So, you know, it's funny. Mobius, he does most of the story research for the program. And he has sent me, I guess, three different stories about what's been happening in Malaysia. These are pretty much developments. And so instead of reading all three, I'll hit some of the highlights. The very first story that came out had a headline, Dark Figure. Actually, no, I think that's the latest one. Let me go back here to the first one. Here's the first one. Mass panic spreads as students in Malaysian schools report being possessed by demons. Says those affected by the bizarre hysteria claim to be overwhelmed by bad spirits and sea spirits such as the Pontianak, a type of female vampiric ghost popular in Malaysian folklore. They go on and on talking about how – I said three stories. I think I'm looking at at least four or five here. It says this has gradually been causing hysteria among students, an epidemic of mass hysteria where in the middle of the day the school students seem to be struck with, quote, body possession phenomenon, end quote. They start going bonkers. Here's a story, says mystery body possession is being attributed to evil spirits. So we go on and on with all these like specific experiences, but here is this latest one. A dark figure screams and a female vampire have shut a school down. This has gotten so serious that they say they're analyzing school security camera footage, and they claim they actually have captured footage of a dark figure in a hallway, because some people have wondered, is this just the students trying to find some ploy to get out of schoolwork? But no, supposedly there are other people who are seeing these dark figures. They say a shaman has been called in to try to cleanse the building, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's always weird when you read stories like this, and of course when it's in another country, it's very hard for us to put it into the proper cultural context, but you can't help but think about what happened, say, in Salem, Massachusetts, when all the young women there started flipping out, which led to the Salem witch trials. And we, of course, look back from a legal point of view, and we see the Salem witch trials as a great tragedy and a travesty of justice. But it does make you wonder if there are occasions when some town, just for whatever reason, it goes sort of bonkers for a while because there is some dark spiritual reawakening. Or is it possible that when there are people who start pretending to be possessed, that this actually creates
some kind of a paranormal effect like a tulpa and sort of gives life to these things. Now, Shelley, you have worked with me for many years on various tulpa-type experiments, including the one that we did for the Warner Brothers production, The Apparition. You also wrote a fantastic article about tulpas recently. And by the way, I'd like for you to tell everybody about the articles that you write and where they can read them. So why don't you, you know, tell everybody, I guess, go ahead and tell them about your articles now, and then give me your thoughts on this tulpa situation and how it could relate to these kids.
I since December, I've been writing columns for the Asheville Daily Planet, which is an independent newspaper here in Asheville, and I have a paranormal column. And the editor, a friend of mine, talked to me about it about a year ago, and then we talked about it again maybe October and decided to go ahead and do it. And it's just a really fun, light, accessible way of talking about paranormal topics that sometimes we discuss here on the show, and sometimes there are other things that we haven't really discussed. Or I can talk about experiments that we've done, like the tulpa experiment that you're discussing. It was a two-part article, and I'm really glad that you liked it. It's a very difficult subject for most people to understand. It's really hard. It's very hard to explain, and I appreciate you reading it and giving me your feedback on it. I just kind of decided that since we'd already created the tulpa for Warner Brothers, that I would step outside of the box just a little bit from what you had envisioned when you were doing your tulpa experiment at Christmas. So you can look me up in the archives. Just go to dailyplanet.com and just go to the archives and type in my name, and they should show up from December 2015 all the way to the present. So every month, a brand new column.
So Shelley, when you hear a story like this about, you know, some area where the school kids are flipping out, are you inclined to believe that there is a possibility that some kind of mass reawakening of demons or something has occurred, or do you think this is something that the kids are creating?
You know, it could be, but I think about the Salem witch trials, and didn't they say that there was the possibility that it wasn't that these girls were possessed, maybe, and it wasn't that they were maybe acting out and trying to get people in trouble. They were positing that maybe it was the grain, that there was some fungus growing on the grain, and it was giving people hallucinations and making all kinds of crazy things happen that make you look like you're possessed. There's just one thing I'd heard about.
Could be like ergot. Is that how you say it?
I think that's what it is. Yeah, and so, you know, like a hallucinogenic fungus or whatever.
Could be. Then again, it may be totally paranormal. That is scary.
You see, this is the tricky thing when it comes to trying to understand what's happening to the human mind. I mean, it's just like I don't know, again, if we talked about this recently or not, but there was a study that came out not long ago saying if you take LSD – this incredible amount of activity just erupts all over your brain, and there are massive, massive sections of the brain that start lighting up that are usually dormant. And these are areas that are now being associated with vision and visual experiences that have never been associated with vision before. And so what the question boils down to is, okay, if you take something like LSD – and all of these parts of the brain suddenly become active, and you start having these paranormal perceptions, is that because that having these new parts of the brain active allow you to see into another realm, or is it causing you to create experiences, i.e. hallucinations, or is it a combination of both? And at that point, how on earth do you draw the line between what's real and what's not? We're going to take a break. When we come back, some more news I want to get into this hour. For one thing, there is an update. You'll probably hear a lot more about this soon regarding the 28 pages from the 9/11 report that may finally be released soon. I definitely want to touch on that. And Hillary Clinton was asked if she would seriously look into releasing some of the UFO and alien documents if she becomes president. And we have some scientists who say they have a whole brand new approach on how to communicate with aliens and learn alien language. I'll dig into that and more when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Irresistible grasp. Can't keep my eyes from circling sky. Tongue-tied and twisted, just an earthbound history. Speaking of strange, I'm Joshua P. Warren. The show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can find a link to Wright's Coin Shop at speakingofstrange.com. Also, you can go there for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more information on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. Yep, that's right, designed by me, hauntedasheville.com. You can find podcasts there of shows going back for years. They're free. They're easy to listen to. They're just MP3s. You can also subscribe to them through iTunes if that's what you want to do. And I hope that you'll go to joshuapwarren.com. If you do that, you should sign up for my free e-newsletter at the site. You can just put your email address in the bank and hit the button. And every once in a while, I sit down at my laptop and I write with my own little fingers here a personal little message and hit the button and it goes out to thousands of people. And you can be one of those people. And I have one that's coming out tomorrow, as a matter of fact, Sunday, May 1st. Thank goodness April will finally be over. It's been a tough one this year for a lot of people, especially tough one. And so tomorrow, you'll be one of the first people to get a message from me about a new little project that I've been working on. I think you will enjoy. But while you're there at joshuapwarren.com, scroll down, and if you haven't seen it already, I want you to take a look at the George Washington ghost photo, because last week I interviewed Lisa Molden on the show. She is the lady who took that picture that we believe may show the actual full-bodied apparition of George Washington. And I have an update for you because I've gotten a lot of emails from people saying, well, if we look at that picture and we see that the apparition's head is around the light fixture, if we measure that distance, does it match up with how tall George Washington was? And so I asked Lisa, since she lives about 30 minutes from the tavern, if she could go and measure that, and she said she'd be happy to. So she got back to me, and she said that that light fixture is approximately 6 feet from the floor. And we know that during his prime, George Washington was reportedly 6'2". So It's pretty darn close, especially if you take into consideration the perspective of the camera. We also don't know the age of the apparition, so to speak, at what age it might represent from Washington's life. And we also don't know how the height of an apparition is affected by things over time. I mean, does an apparition have to maintain the same height? Or what happens if you do renovations and you change the floor level and you raise it and lower it? Does that make an impact? Can a ghost float a little higher or lower? I don't know. But nonetheless, it still matches up pretty darn close. It's right there within that 6-foot range. So that's an answer to another question that I need to put on the website there when I do an update. Okay, so getting back to some of the things that I wanted to dig into, and I'll just touch on this quickly because I do believe you're going to hear quite a bit about this soon. Of course, a good friend of mine is Jim Mars, and Jim Mars has written some of the most controversial books about 9/11 being, well, it's easy to say a conspiracy, but the fact of the matter is nobody doubts or refuses the fact that it was a conspiracy. It depends on whose version of a conspiracy you believe. The U.S. government has officially had one version of a conspiracy, and then there are other versions of a conspiracy. But the fact of the matter is when the official 9/11 report was done by the U.S. government, there were 28 pages of that were redacted. That means they were all blacked out with a magic marker, and it was done by the Bush administration. And since then, there have been a number of politicians who have been able to see those 28 pages, and they have said that there's no reason that they should be blacked out in terms of national security, that they basically are insinuating they were only blacked out because there was damaging information in there, or potentially damaging information, about the relationship between the Bush family and Saudi Arabia. And right now, this document is being kept in a secure vault in the basement of the Capitol. In fact, not too long ago, I saw a report on 60 Minutes about this. So, you know, this is a serious story. And they are claiming here in a couple of these news stories that have come out recently from the AP that it is very possible that one of the last things Barack Obama in office is released those 28 pages of the 9/11 report. So we'll keep an eye on that and see if that happens. But, you know, it shows you when these conspiracy theories come out, a lot of people dismiss them out of hand. But, hey, there's always a conspiracy. Like I said, there's always a conspiracy. It's just a matter of figuring out which one was the right one, like the Kennedy assassination. One was, well, oh, there's a conspiracy, and it was one nut who conspired to kill the president. And then you have people who say, no, there was a conspiracy, but there was a second dude there on the grassy knoll. And then you have people who say, well, no, there was a bigger conspiracy, and the military was involved, and the CIA was involved. And, you know, so, again, it's which version of the conspiracy do you believe? But Hillary Clinton, she has a campaign manager you probably heard of named John Podesta. And he was also a member of the Bill Clinton administration. And he has, for years, been one of the most visible mainstream political opponents of disclosure regarding UFO documents. Not too long ago, I saw him being interviewed on, I think it was CNN. And the interviewer asked John Podesta, if some of these documents that you have seen, but the public hasn't seen, were finally released to the public, would this indicate to the public that there are aliens, not just UFOs, but aliens? And Podesta kind of, you know, grinned a little bit and said, well, I just would like for the public to decide for themselves when they see it. Kind of a nod, nod, wink, wink kind of thing. So it's interesting that Hillary Clinton, as this fella, as her campaign manager, and she was recently on a radio talk show, and a guy claiming to be an alien abductee got an opportunity to talk to her. And he asked Hillary Clinton if she really would deliver on comments she's made in the past related to her quest for the truth and release, you know, various top secret material related to the UFO phenomenon. And she said, oddly enough, "I am," end quote. "I am." So that sounded like an affirmation. But then she went on to say, quote, "I mean, if there's some huge national security thing and I can't get agreement to open them, I want, but I do want to open them because I'm interested," end quote. So talk about an instant backpedaling. So obviously there is a supposed national security issue. That's why we don't get to see those things. You can make an argument that anything related to new technology has some national security significance that would be a risk if released. So I have said for a long time, and I stand by my opinion, that if we sit around waiting for the United States government, or any other government for that matter, to fully disclose everything they have on UFOs and aliens, well, that's just never going to happen. The only way disclosure will ever take place is if the aliens or the visitors or whatever you want to call them, if they themselves just one morning decide they don't give a crap anymore and they are going to make themselves visible and appear.
And then they'll eat us.
Well, who knows? You know, it's like there's the story. Have you ever heard the story of the scientific chicken, Shelley?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, the scientific chicken got a pad and pencil and started taking notes, because the first step in the scientific method is to observe. And the scientific chicken says, every morning at 6 a.m., the farmer comes out here and feeds us and waters us. And every evening at 6 p.m., the farmer comes out here and he feeds us and waters us. And this goes on for years and years and years. And so finally the chicken says, for 5 years, I have seen at 6 o'clock in the morning, the farmer comes and waters us and feeds us. At 6 in the evening, he waters us and feeds us. Therefore, it is a law. It is a scientific law that every morning at 6 a.m. we are fed and watered, and every evening at 6 p.m. we are fed and watered. And then the next day, the farmer came out and jerked him up and chopped his head off. So you have a very small, narrow, egocentric sort of point of view on these big cycles that reveal what the ultimate plan really is. So you're right, Shelley. We might be simply cattle for another race. As I've mentioned before, there's not one single cow on planet Earth that knows people eat cows. We're going to take a break when we come back. I want to tell you, speaking of our relationship with other animals, about this experiment that scientists are doing to try to understand alien language. And they are doing it by studying an animal right here on Earth. What animal could it be? I will explain when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. It's Speaking of Strange. You buy 100 pounds of yeast, fence a copper line.
I just need some place where I can lay my head. Hey, mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed?
picked up my bag. I went looking for a place to hide. When I saw Carmen and the devil walking side by side, I said, hey, Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can stick around. Take a load off.
Yeah, we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. The show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop, and the number to Wright's is 828-298-5402. And next hour, we're going to have some great content. I'm considering it a gift to all of you. I'm going to share with you something that I have never shared on the radio before. It's what I call my 10 steps. My 10 steps on how to win at slots in the casino using mind power. And I'm looking forward to revealing these steps because I'm hoping that you'll go out and you'll try them out, and then you'll let me know if they work for you the way they work for me. That's the only way I'll know for sure. We're also going to talk a little bit about the New World Order and the connection to financial enslavement. It's going to be good. Stick around for that. And I meant to mention as well, we have a new Facebook page for the Wishing Machine. Of course, the Wishing Machine is this controversial device that seems to make your wishes come true. The website for it is wishingmachineproject.com. But we have a new Wishing Machine Facebook page, and I put the page up, and within 24 hours, it had already been liked like 400 or 500 times. People are having interesting discussions, so that's a cool thing you can check out as well. So there are scientists who are trying to contact aliens, and they're saying, well, how do we even know how to contact or communicate with an alien? And maybe there are obvious signals coming through all the time that are coming from aliens, but it's just so weird and foreign to our way of thinking that we don't even recognize them. Maybe they don't have the same kind of speech patterns and all that kind of stuff as the way, you know, these advanced mammals, these primates call humans employ. So in order to try to figure out how to sort of open their mind to possible extraterrestrial languages and communications, scientists have now turned to one of Earth's most intelligent animals. They are studying dolphins. Now, it says experts in marine biology have long thought that dolphins could help reveal the secrets of the universe. But now SETI, that's the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, has technology they believe will prove successful in finding a linguistic link between dolphins and aliens. This new study is based on the 1961 work of a neuroscientist named John Lilly. He was an eccentric man who was known for trying to talk to dolphins. And his study centered on signs of ET life. And he and his other researchers were based in the Caribbean studying dolphins and their ability to mimic human speech. So looking at their work, SETI now has a computer system that they are employing to try to study dolphin language from the most advanced perspective ever. It has a mathematical algorithm that's analyzing the structure and relationships of information. And basically they're saying we are hoping that if we learn more about how dolphins talk to each other, then that will give us cues and ideas about how to interpret how other creatures that live in a very foreign environment yet are intelligent would talk to each other as well. So, you know, it's an interesting thought. Why not? Why not do it? I personally, and I know that there are a lot of people who are going to be maybe a little outraged or a little ticked to hear me say this, but I've watched a lot of documentaries about dolphins. I've read a lot about dolphins. I've been around dolphins, and I know that dolphins are smart, but I do think dolphins are a little overrated. And it may be that obviously a dolphin is going to not do so well if he's in my kitchen, and I'm not going to do so well if I'm out in the middle of the ocean. So we each have unique abilities and skill sets that have evolved over time. But I think that we might apply a little bit too much credit to dolphins for solving problems and whatnot. So, but hey, that's just my opinion. What do I know? One last story before we go to this break. They say recently, if you were in Oakland, California, and you saw zebras running down the street, you were not hallucinating. That's because it actually happened, and it is due to a circus escape. That's right. A pair of zebras got loose from a circus playing at a nearby Coliseum, and they were running about 4:30 p.m. Around a park and some of the avenues. Some people were thinking they were going nuts when they saw this, but circus workers were finally able to herd them, and it was a happy ending. Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about finances and the New World Order, but most importantly, we're going to talk about how to win in the casino using mind power. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. Speaking of strange.